The Bush administration's march toward war in Iraq has fostered growing anti-Americanism around the world. While the war has been the focus of concerns, many nations also resent the Bush administration's rejection of the Kyoto Protocol on climate change and its opposition to the International Criminal Court. At a time when American global influence and power are unrivaled, such foreign discontent presents special challenges to U.S. diplomats. Thomas Pickering has been ambassador to Russia, India, Israel, El Salvador, Nigeria, Jordan, and the United Nations. He was also undersecretary for political affairs. Ambassador Pickering is now senior vice president for international affairs at the Boeing Corporation. He's with us in the studio. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Michelle. I'm delighted to be here.
We're also joined by Donald Oberdorfer. Mr. Oberdorfer reported on U.S. foreign policy at the Washington Post for 17 years, and he now teaches at the Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
First, I'd like to talk to you, Ambassador Pickering, about, I wonder if there's any point in your career at the State Department when anti-Americanism was such a strong problem and how you handled it.
Well, I think that we had almost endemic anti-Americanism fostered in part by Soviet propaganda, effective and ineffective, throughout the whole period of the Cold War. And it's convenient and somewhat happy now to forget that in the light of where we are now. But from my own analysis right now, I think probably it's as high a zenith of anti-Americanism as we've seen for a long time.
Professor Oberdorfer, I want to talk to you about some more broader aspects of U.S. foreign policy now. Recently on Weekend Edition, we heard some other thoughts about diplomacy. Robert Kaplan talked about this article he wrote in the Atlantic Monthly, and he argued that the U.S. military has, to some extent, taken on this role of diplomacy. He explains that an effective way to maintain U.S. empire is through U.S.-run military training programs in countries around the world. And this is sort of the hard power view, and I wonder what's happened to Joseph Nye's soft power view of the world. Where are diplomats in all of this?
Well, I think there's something to what Kaplan says. The U.S. military is a very powerful force, as we all know, and the strongest voices heard regarding the war in Iraq were either the president or, more importantly from day to day, Secretary Rumsfeld or one of his senior military officers. And these people are not speaking to the overseas audience. They're speaking to Americans. And they are fairly heedless, I believe, on certain occasions of how these things sound overseas.
Ambassador Pickering, conservatives like Newt Gingrich recently, we've heard a lot from him. He's taken aim particularly at the State Department for failing to, what he said, effectively spread American values. Is that what diplomats should be doing? And how is it possible for diplomats to really boost America's image at this time?
I believe that the public diplomacy efforts of the United States need to be central in our foreign policy thinking. They don't dictate the policy. The policy dictates the public diplomacy. I tried as Undersecretary of State to try to connect that. I don't think I was successful. I think it was one of the failings of the last administration. But I also think it continues, that public diplomacy and the active work in public diplomacy is part and parcel of the Secretary of State's responsibility as much as it is anybody else. And we have to be out there talking about and explaining American values.
There's always so many questions now about Secretary Powell, how long he'll stay in there. I wonder, Don Oberdorfer, you've covered a lot of secretaries of state. You just wrote a book about the late senator and diplomat Mike Mansfield. What do you make of Powell? He's facing a lot of criticism in conservative circles, at least.
Well, I think Secretary Powell is a good soldier. I think he's also a fine Secretary of State. I think he's doing a great job of reviving the State Department to some degree. He's gotten them more money, more prestige. People are now applying to the Foreign Service for the first time in numbers of years.
He's definitely been credited with boosting morale, but I wonder about his credibility abroad, particularly after all of these scandals with the U.S. intelligence leading up to the war in Iraq.
I think the Secretary of State enjoys enormous prestige and confidence abroad. Happily, the secretary isn't held personally responsible for mistakes made by other departments and bureaucrats. The secretary is usually very much held responsible for the things that he tells foreigners we intend to do, and for his ability to deliver on the promises he makes, and for the way he tells foreigners about American policy. Is he truthful? Is he frank? Is he straightforward? Can he bring foreign leaders along with where we would like to go? And can he be effective in making that happen in what I would call presenting a win-win strategy? These are hard. They're not easy. But the most effective secretaries, and I would count Secretary Powell among those, is able to take this on and do it even under adverse and sometimes difficult circumstances.
If we move away briefly from this administration, I wonder if you can think, if you think that any amount of diplomacy or marketing or whatever we want to call it can really change the U.S. image abroad, because the U.S. is this unrivaled power and there's bound to be a lot of resentment toward it.
Well, it's going to be hard. Certainly, we have to remember that the fall off in support for the United States preceded Bush. Bush accelerated it greatly, especially with the Iraq War and all that led to that. But if you go back and look at the polls, the diminution in the people, numbers of people who admired the United States was going earlier than that. That said, I think the U.S. could do a much better job of presenting its views. The administration seems to me to be almost tongue-tied, except in the very highest levels of government. Officials at the State Department and the National Security Council who used to be available to reporters are not available anymore. They're afraid that they might say something which is not the party line and get penalized for it. And I think the United States should do a better job of explaining its point of view to the world, realizing that the rest of the world is going to be very suspicious because of the fact that we are this big two-ton gorilla out there on the block.
I agree with Don that there's what we called in the Clinton administration the gaseous hegemon problem. The fact, the sheer size and power and the unrivaled position of the United States as the world leader made us the biggest gorilla on the block by far, in fact overshadowing all the other gorillas, and that was a problem. The second problem basically is foreign policy. You're not going to please everybody on foreign policy in the Middle East, and the Arab-Israeli peace process is certainly the epitome of that, and we never will, and we have to live with that, and we should. And we should select our policies on the basis of our vital interests, not how they're received abroad by various parties. But the third piece is very important, and this is what I would call style. When I was undersecretary, one of the first things I did was, with the permission of the secretary, I sent a message around to our ambassadors, and I said, your instructions are often written by junior officers and cleared by junior officers, and we have this terrible practice in the United States of writing our instructions as talking points, and we expect the ambassador to deliver them. And I said to the ambassadors, you're paid highly to do a wonderful job for the United States, so you're expected to present these points in your own words, in the way you think best to sell the policy. I said, you have no authority to betray the policy, but you have every authority to take what's sent out to you, which is really a mishmash of what the government can agree to often in many cases, and present it in the most effective way. And I got lots of cheers and lots of enthusiastic support, and I never had anybody complain to me that our ambassadors were being ineffective, or that they'd adopted editorial license, or indeed changed the policy.
Well, it's a big challenge ahead, though, for our current ambassadors around the world.
Well, I hope the cable is still out there.
Ambassador Thomas Pickering is now Vice President for International Relations at the Boeing Corporation, and Donald Oberdorfer is professor at the Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies and a former diplomatic correspondent for The Washington Post. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.